Well, good morning. Good to see each one of you here this morning. It truly is a blessing to be here. Even though we have our hearts set on going somewhere else, I always love to be with my people. Maybe we can all stand and we'll have time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do just bow before you here this morning again with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for the privilege that we have of being gathered together here. We thank you for your word that was shared this morning already. And Lord, as we look into your word, Father, this morning, I just pray that you would speak to the needs that each one of us has, that we could receive something, that we would look for something that we can apply to our own hearts and lives, and that we would purpose to take those things home and to allow you to work those things out in our lives, Lord. I pray this morning that you would be with those that are not here, that are at home for whatever reasons, or are traveling or visiting other places. Lord, we thank you for them. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would help them to be a blessing wherever they are. We just want to commit this service to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a verse that I would like for us to just think about here this morning, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 10 here, some words that were given to Daniel here: many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And as I look at that verse, and we see that there's two different groups of people here that he's talking about. One is a people that is being purified and made white and holy, that group of people shall understand what God is doing. But the wicked, he says, shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. And when we think about the wicked, you know, when we think about a wicked people, you know, we think people that are doing great evil. But I think that maybe here, you know, what he's, the group of people that it includes is those that they have an agenda for their life, and they're not interested in hearing what God has to say. And and because of that, you know, when things, they can't understand what God is doing. So I trust this morning that as we listen to what God has for us, that hopefully we don't fall in that category, but rather that we would like to be part of those that are purified and are seeking the Lord, in that we would be wise and could understand the things of the Lord. This morning, the message, the title that I have for us is, what is the cost of being a disciple of Jesus? And I've been pondering what I've been sharing recently here from Nehemiah. And I'll just go back there again a little bit and just talk about that. And that, you know, Nehemiah had a vision. And his vision carried other people into the work that he was seeing that needed to be done. And he obviously realized, you know, he spent some time thinking about the cost and how hard it was going to be. And he was, you know, he willingly gave up the easy life that he had and the comforts of his life and walked away from that and pursued something that he believed God had called him to do. And he, we can see that he willingly did that. And he brought other people alongside him, and they helped him with that work. And also, I was talking last time I spoke there about the group of people and in the workforce, and that most of the people, how they, you know, they just get through their work but don't really enjoy their jobs. And I've been pondering those things in my heart, and I think I've shared about that. But, you know, I think often the reason that when people do get weary and they quit or they get discouraged is because they hadn't really stopped and processed with the decision that they were making what it might cost. And so we do well, you know, when we're, you know, when self is in the way, you know, we're thinking about ourselves, we're thinking about our own comfort and the things that we would like to enjoy, and, you know, not all of those things are wrong. You know, we have a vision of doing, you know, growing up and you know, maybe having a family, or, you know, buying a certain vehicle, or, you know, but the thing that we have to remember when we, you know, thinking about being a disciple of Jesus is the answer to that, what is it going to cost, is it means that every step of the way that we are putting Jesus first, and that is before, you know, the things that I want, before the dreams that I have, you know, that if what Jesus is asking of me, that Jesus would be first. And so if we, you know, I think about, as I was preparing this message, I was thinking about some here that, you know, have made commitments to Christ and are wanting to move forward with that. And, you know, it is really important that we understand what that means to us and what, you know, what the cost is. And so we can, so we don't get discouraged. So we have that already figured out in our minds that, you know, life isn't always going to be easy, and life definitely will not be fair. You know, we hear of people that, you know, for whatever reason, you know, their marriages don't work out, and it's not always their fault. You know, their spouse walks away from the Lord, or for whatever reason gives up, and you know, those are when we face hard things. We need to know that the commitment that we've made for Christ, and that we're committed to Jesus regardless of what happens. You know, we, some people, you know, we don't have the control of being born into a family that is stable and life is rough, and you know, in that we are, you know, when we think about following Jesus, you know, we have counted the cost. We are committed to Jesus. So we do well in all areas of our lives, and especially when we think about being a disciple of Jesus, you know, that we count the cost of following. Salvation is free. And, you know, that's what we hear, and we hear from lots of places. We see it is free, but, you know, there's something that I believe that many people miss. They want the easy salvation, but they stop there and don't explain that being a disciple of Jesus will cost you your whole life. It's something that will go with you. You know, it, as you make decisions, as you do things, it is, you stop and think about, what would Jesus have me to do? And so it's a lifelong journey to being a disciple of Jesus. We must know, we must understand that, you know, we need to have Jesus first. To being a Christian, a disciple, you know, it's no different. It's not optional. You know, we are, Jesus is looking for people that are committed to following him. And so the question that I would like to ask us, those of us that, you know, have been following Jesus, and when we look back over our lives and we see to remember when we came to the Lord and the commitment that we made was Jesus, and we move forward to today and we look at our lives, you know, are we holding true to that commitment? Are we as committed to Christ now as we were then? And I would like to hope that not only are we as committed, but we are even, our roots are deeper, and we know for sure that we are where we stand. I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 14 and just look at this few verses here in this chapter. We go down to verse 25 here. We see that Jesus was speaking to a great multitude of people, and he was with a great people here, and he turned and he said unto them, and he started teaching them. In verse 26 here, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And we just stop and take that in. And and process that. And what does, you know, those are some pretty hard words. And what does that actually mean? What was Jesus trying to tell the people there? I think that in this setting, and often in Jesus' setting, when these people were following him, that there was people that were really looking and seeking for truth. And they were looking for something. But in the group, I believe there was also a group of people that was looking to better themselves. You know, they had heard that Jesus healed someone, and they had a sickness, and really, you know, they needed to be healed. Or maybe they were there because they were hoping that they might see a miracle. They had heard some things that Jesus would do and did. And so there was all these people there, that different people. And I think Jesus was trying to get their attention and try to teach them and help them understand what a true follower of Jesus is. And so in this verse here, you know, he says that, and what he, I think, really wants, he wasn't coming against families caring about each other. In fact, that I think he wants that very much. But what he is saying is that friends, father, mother, wife, you know, life can't come before Jesus. Basically, our relationship with God must be first. In the beginning of the chapter here, Luke in 14, going back to verse 18 here, Jesus was speaking to these people here in a parable, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another one had just gotten married and was wanting time with his wife, and therefore he couldn't come. And so we see the picture there, you know, if there's something in our lives that is more important than following Jesus, when we are a disciple of Jesus, that is what Jesus was addressing here. He wanted to help the people recognize the importance of being true and being prepared. And so we do well to process those things in our lives and to see where we stand. Is there anything in our lives that we're holding up front and saying, I want to, but this is something that I'm holding on to? And it could be something that we value in life. It could be, you know, when we see verse 26 there, and it goes down through relations, you know, people that we should be close to. It could be that, you know, one of these people, the reason that we can't really totally follow Christ is because when we go through that list, we remember some people that didn't really treat me well, or maybe cheated me, or, yeah, we can, you know, when we go down that list, we know what that is. And so if we hold those things out, and it's like, well, I can't really totally follow Jesus because I'm hanging on to that certain thing. Those are things that Jesus is asking us to flush out of our lives, to give to Him and make Him first, and He will take care of those things. In verse 27 there, in chapter 14 here, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What does bearing our own cross, what does that mean? What is he saying? What I understand in that verse there is to fully put my trust in the Lord. And that, you know, when I do that, that is bearing my cross. And he's saying, come after me and follow him. And, you know, if we're not able or willing to do that, you know, that we can't truly be his. And so, do we understand, do we experience what it is to just trust the Lord? And, you know, when we stop and think about that, you know, at times, you know, Satan wants to bring fear and doubt into our lives, and we recognize that, and we have to take that fear. We have to, you know, that time of being vulnerable, you know, we're afraid of that. We have to give that to the Lord and just trust him and allow him to have his way. You know, after all, we know that we are his if we have given our hearts to him, and he has a plan for our lives, and our life is you know, we're committed to him, and he's going to take care of us. In going down to verse 28 to 30 there, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And so, you know, a wise person, when he's making an investment in a material form, you know, if he's wise, he's going to stop and he's going to understand what the expenses are, how much labor there is, and you know, try to understand what some of the obstacles are that might get in the way for seeing it through, and often even it's like, well, you know, we'll set some funds aside just in case something happens that we're not thinking about. And, you know, if we do that with our commitment to Christ, if we have counted the cost, and we are committed through those things. And we also, we recognize that, you know, I don't know what is going to happen with my life. I don't know all the details. And we acknowledge that. And we willingly give that to the Lord and say, you know, I'm just going to be yours, and you can do with me what you like. You know, we have preparation, and so when the hard times come, we're already committed. You know, it's sort of like when the builder starts digging a foundation, starts digging a hole to build the building that he wants to build. And he has a certain elevation that he wants to be, and he hits rock that can't be dug. If he's committed to that location, to that depths of where he wants to be, you know, there's ways to see it through. And that is, you know, you get the dynamite out and you blast a hole out. Or you can, you know, if you're not very committed to the project, you're like, well, you know, this is going to be tough going. It's costing me more than I was planning. And you push the dirt back over and close it up and say, you know what, it's not worth it. Going down to verse 31, or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 34, salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And we were reminded earlier this morning about, you know, having ears to hear. And God is speaking. He is showing us truth. He is, just like Jesus was speaking to the multitudes of people, trying to find a people that was willing to hear, was wanting to understand, was wanting to go all the way. So Jesus is speaking to us here, and he's telling us that if we have ears to hear, let him hear. And so let's allow God to stir our hearts and allow him to make us into the people that he wants us to be. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, here again, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We see that our walk with the Lord, you know, is a daily life. It's not just a once and done thing, but it's through life of, you know, I don't know the terms that we would use, maybe, you know, through thick and thin, you know, through the life of joy, through the life of trials, you know, it's that we realize that God is with us. you know, it doesn't matter what's happening in the government around us or the world out there. When we have these understandings and we focus on them, then we can experience what God wants us to experience. In verse 24 in chapter 9 here, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." And those are things that, you know, unless we have a heart that is surrendered to Christ, you know, we cannot understand that. We cannot experience that. And the world, you know, the world hears those words and they make light of it because, you know, they have to protect their own interests because no one else will. But when we put our interests in Christ and we give that to Him, you know, we can be assured that He's looking out for us. You know, when something I think we have to be on guard of is the world all around us and is constantly telling us that, you know, we have to focus on what I can get out of life. And, you know, we're taught from the world that, you know, you give as little as you can and get as much as, you know, as much as possible. And that is, you know, that comes against what Jesus wants from us. He wants to change that. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's easy for that mindset to come with us into our churches, into our own lives, because we're so bombarded with that worldly thinking that we can very easily be influenced by that. And so, you know, rather we need to have the heart of, you know, what can I give, and not have that self-interest of what can I achieve, you know, how can I benefit from this? Or even in, you know, when something good happens, we want some of the action, so to speak. We'd like to receive some of the glory. And so putting Jesus first is something that needs to be coming out of our hearts continually. In John chapter 15, in this chapter, we go down to verse 7, we see some of the benefits of making Jesus first. And, you know, when we make Jesus first, we have to put self aside. We have to realize that we of ourselves are nothing, and acknowledge Christ. Verse 7 here in chapter 15, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his law. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Again here, Jesus teaching the people, and in verse 7 there, you know, the benefits when we have a relationship with God and his word is alive in our hearts, and we commune with him, you know, we're not alone. When that is happening, we feel satisfied. We know that our lives are in his hands, and we're not tempted to ask of him in a selfish way, but rather we ask, wanting God to have his way in whatever those things are that we're bringing to him. And so we experience a relationship. In verse 8 there, you know, it talks about fruit coming out of our lives. That's something, that's the benefit of when Jesus is first in our lives. You know, we feel blessed by our life. We see things happening, and it's good things. We experience in verse 9 and 10 there, we love God. We find joy in obeying him. In verse 11 there, we are full of joy when we allow these things to take place in our lives. We find ourselves full of joy. And in verse 12 and 13 there, you know, when we're doing these things, we find ourselves loving the way that Jesus loved. And at times, you know, when we love that way, we feel used and abused. And we're okay with that. That's when we are, when Jesus is first in our lives. You know, Jesus experienced that. He experienced being used and abused. And he knew he was doing it to hopefully, to that people could find God. And when we experience that and we know that, you know, somebody will see and maybe come to the Lord, and you know, we can let go of ourselves and say, you know, yeah, I realize I was used and maybe abused, and we don't have to do what the world does or what self wants to do, is rise up and be bitter or bring revenge, but rather we just give it all to the Lord. So in closing here, these are some of the benefits that we can experience here when we take the time and we count the cost of what following Jesus, what being a disciple of Jesus is. And when we put that in action and actually allow Jesus to be first in our lives, there in John chapter 15, those are some of the things that we can expect to benefit from. And in this life here, we will experience those things. And obviously, the long-term benefit is that we are ready to meet the Lord. And we can know that we will be invited into His kingdom, and we can spend time with Jesus for all eternity. And so, just like to leave those thoughts with each one of us as an encouragement. And if we're just beginning our journey with the Lord, that we would spend time now counting the cost of what that means and what that might look like, you know. And then we don't have to fight through that later when things come up and it's like, well, this is getting hard. This is hurting more. This is costing me more than I thought. And we obviously, you know, we look around and we see many people that obviously haven't counted the cost. And when life gets tough and they turn away, and they say, well, you know, it's too much. It's too hard. I'm going to turn back. And we don't want to be those people. We want to be a people that is going to be dependable for Jesus and that He can count on, and that we're going to be loyal to the end. May the Lord bless.